You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It is time to go back to the Ohio Business Machines hotline and bring in our good friend from the Associated Press, Tom Withers. Tom, it's all of a sudden been a very newsworthy 3 days in a row here in Berea. Your thoughts about where we are at Tuesday at 2:03?
Oh, my. The gift that keeps on giving, right? I mean, as a newsman, and that's what I am by trade, there's plenty to talk about. So, we're in the middle of a coaching search. The Browns have hired a baseball executive today. So, God only knows what's next.
Yes, indeed. Your thoughts on Paul DePodesta and just kind of what the Browns are clearly trying to assemble and do with this football organization.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Nate. I just got off the phone with Chris Antonetti, the Indians general manager, who had some great things to say about Paul, called him an extremely bright, innovative guy, and believes that he will be nothing but an asset for the Browns. So, you know, as Jimmy Haslam pointed out the other night, you know, he spent the last year kind of transversing the major sports industry, looking for, you know, some other ideas and some other people and some assets and some things that can help the Browns kind of turn the corner. And I think DePodesta is a perfect example of that. And I would say that Sashi Brown is probably a prior example of someone like that. So, just kind of out of the box thinker, somebody who has more but expertise in analytics, but can break down numbers and put them to good use for any organization.
And Tom, you know, that all being said, do you think that, you know, it happening so quickly and so harshly and a total different direction for the Cleveland Browns is a little bit why both in the fan base and I'm sure the local media is, you know, still trying to, you know, grasp this new direction so quickly?
Yeah, no, you're right, Matt. I mean, it is a little bit of a shock, I think, to people. And, I called it kind of an out of the batter's box hire. This is not in keeping with the norm. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with, you know, having another set of eyes, another set of ears, somebody with 20 years of experience in major league sports. I mean, this is a guy who won 5 titles with 5 different organizations, has won, you know, almost every hat you can imagine within a front office. So, I would applaud the hire if I was a Browns fan. I think it shows some innovation by the Browns. I mean, clearly, what's been, you know, the model for the last few years has not been working. So why not tweak it? Why not try to see something else? Try a new perspective, try a new path, because the old one hasn't worked.
Certainly has not. That's why you end up where you are when you're the Cleveland Browns, and they are going ahead and trying it. And to the people, you know, there's got to be a football guy. That's still coming with this organizational structure.
Exactly.
So the Browns have basically, it sounds like they have put a lot of their intellectual capital now, innovative thinkers, guys who excel in strategy processes, and they're going to marry that with a football thinker. How do you expect that part of this to go, and who do you, if anybody, do you hope to see kind of in that role?
You know, I don't really have a clear favorite by any means, Nathan. I think there's a lot of good names that have been floated around already. You're right. I mean, I think, you know, this is going to be presented to whoever that football guy is that, hey, you know, we're going to have not only resources for you to work with, you know, monetarily, but we're going to have some of the brightest people in the business around you to help you try to put this thing together. So, you know, as Jimmy Haslam pointed out, and I have to tell you, Nathan and Matt, you guys know better than I do that, you know, talent acquisition has been the biggest problem for this team over the last decade. So, you know, it's going to come down. You can crunch all the numbers you want, but it's going to come down to being able to assess talent, evaluate talent, and bring the right talent here. So, you know, that's still down the road. You know, first and foremost, they're going to try to find a coach first and then, you know, try to marry all these guys together. You know, it's what Jimmy spoke about the other night, I thought was very important. It's an alignment. It's a collaborative. It's a community of thinkers working together for a common goal. And I think that was one of the biggest problems over the last couple of years. You know, although they tried to downplay it, I think if you want to call it a shotgun marriage between Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer just didn't work. You had two, you know, first-time coach and a first-time GM that didn't necessarily see eye to eye on everything. And you can't have that if you're trying to win.
You definitely can't, Tom. And, As a part of that collaboration, it's going to be not only the talent evaluator, but a head coach. And now it seems as if many names are going to be interviewed so far, mm-hmm. or at least being, you know, reported as being interviewed by the Cleveland Browns both this week and next week. Who of those names do you think is a perfect fit for this process, or what names in general have you kind of latched onto as who you'd personally think fits this process and is up for the job to get the Browns back to where they should be?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of good quality candidates out there, but unfortunately, you know, as you guys have seen in the past, that talent pool starts to drain pretty quickly when you have as many teams, you know, vying for the same candidates. So, you know, I think, you know, last night with Pagano getting the job at Indianapolis, you know, you eliminated one franchise that might be, you know, fighting with you for some of these guys. And I tell you what, all the names that are out there, you know, are pretty exciting. You know, I think Gaze is a guy who, you know, has been on the radar here in Cleveland for about, it seems like about a decade now, but for about 4 years, at least for the last couple of hires. You know, I think Hugh Jackson is somebody that's really yeah. stood out to me, you know, with what they've been able to do down there in Cincinnati. So, you know, I'm expecting him to have an interview as well. But I think, you know, Matt, and you know this league, there are a lot of quality guys out there. There's and this idea that Cleveland is not an attractive job, I think, is just absolute nonsense. Because, you know, if you're in this business and you're aspiring to be one of the 32 coaches in the NFL, you know, this is one of those landing spots. So, you know, while it can be a draining time for a lot of us and a lot of work, it is a pretty exciting time too, because it is going to signal another new fresh start.
It is, Tom. But just to kind of reverberate, you know, what you just said is, yes, this is a great job. It's one of 32. There are a lot of quality names out there. Mike Pettine was a quality guy,
no question.
Just not the right guy for this job. And I think that's the challenge in front of Jimmy Haslam and now Sashi Brown and Dee Podesta, so on and so forth, is finding the right guy that fits the process, which is being created as we speak.
Sure.
But then also for this fan base, and both in the short term and the long term, because it's not going to happen overnight because of the decisions that have been made by regimes in the past.
No, and that's the one thing that kind of irks me a little bit, you know, through this whole thing. And listen, you know, I don't think, you know, 18 out of 21 losses, you know, something had to be done. But, you know, let's be honest. The one thing that hasn't been done here over the last 16 years is to show enough patience for something to really grow. You know, in my mind, sure, did Mike Pettine have some problems over this past season? Yeah, but when you think about all the variables at play, when you talk about, you know, the rash of concussions and injuries and the Johnny Manziel sideshow, and all the other things that were seemingly working against him, you know, the front office that didn't seem to be aligned with him, you know, it's a very hard fit here when you put all those things in play, you know, to come out with a winning record. So I understand what you're saying, Matt. I mean, it's a tricky thing to find that guy, because, you know, suddenly the guy that you may want could end up being off the board. You know, I don't envy them. I think it's a very tough challenge, but, you know, Lord knows that this fan base deserves, you know, this thing to get turned around sooner than later.
They certainly do. Talk with Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Tom, it is amazing, given what has happened over the weekend, that we have gotten this far into our discussion without talking about a quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
And I will just leave it at that. Your thoughts on the latest adventures of Johnny Manziel?
Yeah, you know, it still has not been confirmed by anybody in an official capacity whether he was in Las Vegas or not. But that being said, I just think it was, you know, I think you need to be at that game, whether you have a concussion or not, if you're a player for the Cleveland Browns. I think you owe it to your teammates who have been out there fighting with you all season long to show them the respect to be at that game. So, you know, that would bother me, number one, if I was a teammate, and then number two, if I was the organization that had been supporting this player for 2 years. So all that said, you know, it's really disappointing to me in that all the strides that we did see Johnny make during the season as a football player, you know, the preparedness, all the things we heard the coaches and some of his teammates talk about, seems to go right out the window in these last 3 weeks. So I think that's the real shame of it. You know, it wouldn't shock me if this is the final straw. I'm surprised that it's even gotten to this point, to be honest with you. But, you know, I hope the kid also gets himself together, because there is obviously some talent there, and you just hate to see it go to waste.
You certainly do. If you were the Browns right now, and it does come out that that's where he was, and all these Billy Manziel videos turn out to be true,
yeah,
and all of that,
yeah,
are you cutting him?
I would have done that, to be honest with you, Nathan. I think I would have done that a long time ago. Yeah, I think there had been a pattern of behavior established here very early on that he didn't seem to be taking it seriously enough. And he admitted some of that stuff at the end of last season. And then again, like I said, for all the good that came out of it, all seems to have kind of been washed over with these latest episodes.
Tom, for the Browns in this coaching search as it goes on, do you expect this to be something that moves quickly so then they can secure the top talent evaluator after that as it's been laid out to us, or do you think this is something that could take some time?
I think it's going to take some time. I would be surprised if this didn't last, shorter than 2 weeks. I would think they're going to want to, talk to as many candidates as they can, at least out of the gate. And obviously they've got 5 or 6 names, that were right at the top of their wish list that they want to talk to the first time around. And then obviously, you have that second round of interviews, and whether they come here or go to see, that person, whatever the case may be, you also have some candidates, whether it's with New England or with Carolina or with Cincinnati, guys that are involved in the playoffs at this point. So that has another layer to it. I'm sure we're going to hear some old familiar names come back out of the TV booth to be mentioned as possible candidates, all those kinds of things. So, yeah, I'd be surprised, Nathan, that this thing, doesn't take 3 to 4 weeks.
All right, Tom, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you for being with us, and the Browns certainly keeping you busy here.
Hey, always a pleasure, you guys. Nice talking to you as always.
You got it. Tom Withers from the Associated Press, our guest here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. When we return, we will go back to the phone lines. We can update you on some of the names that have been linked to the Cleveland Browns. We can't confirm anything until after actual interviews take place, but we can tell you the names that have been linked to the Browns right now. 216-578-0850 here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. We'll go back to the phone lines, 216-578-0850. And let's go to Bill in Cleveland. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good, man.
Good.
Excellent. I was just calling because I think it was one of your first, professional guys or whatever called in and was talking about how, it's just football, it's not that complicated or whatever. That's the same type of sentiment that came from, the Oakland A's scouting department and things like that. And the fact is the world of sports is changing. I've done several projects as a analytics student at Akron that, like the Dallas Mavericks, when they beat the Heat, win the finals, they brought an analyst guy in and they traded away some young talent to bring in some older guys that just brought something different. And it's not that these analyst guys come in and tell the franchise what to do, but when one of the talent guys will say, we need a wide receiver, then the analytics guys will find out measurable ways to find the best receiver. They'll give that information to them and then they'll go find the guy.
Yeah, and I think people, when they think of analytics, they think it's just stats. So what an example of using analytics
and it's the measurables
or an analytics study would be something like taking a look at every receiver that's been drafted over the last 15 years and finding out what common themes can you find from whether it be size, any type of numbers that are measurables from their physical measurables, what statistical measurables, what their performance is on certain routes versus certain coverages in certain conditions, finding links between the guys that end up ultimately being successful in the National Football League. What can you go through this data and slice it in different ways that people have maybe never even thought of and find those advantages? And that is something that I think will be a big part of this. And that is something that I think is very, very exciting. And that is what, led this team to Teddy Bridgewater at that point. So they didn't draft him, though. And that's why I think a lot of the changes were made and people are in place that if you get something that definitive, Teddy Bridgewater would be a Cleveland Brown. So it'll be interesting to see if this year, if the tape and the analytics align to produce such a strong feeling about any quarterback in this draft. And my guess is if they do, it would be Jared Goff. That's just my guess.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the more we talk about it, the more you wrap your head around the process. And I think You know, as Sashi Brown or Jimmy Haslam, you know, make a statement or hit the podium here in the coming days or next week. The one question I do have, and it's been asked by other people, it's like, as you study other franchises, just so we can understand it, because you always compare to what other people are doing. And in some cases, what I love is, and I've continually said all season long, is study those that are doing it well. Study those that get it right more than they get it wrong. And I think that's the hopes in promoting Sashi Brown and hiring the guys that you have, is like, let us know who's doing it this way. You know, because I think it's a hard sell to say, hey, we are recreating the wheel and we're revolutionizing the industry. And it's like, and telling us as a fan base to wait and watch, because five regimes since 1999 have done the same thing and none of them have worked. So it's a very difficult sell. But when you say the Patriots have these guys in these roles doing it this way, when you look and say Seattle has these guys that do it this way, or the way they evaluate is going to be the way we evaluate, so you start to create some apple-to-apple scenarios of, okay, I can believe that. Works for them. The process is good. And you started to see, and I think, what, May of this year, whenever the draft is our first opportunity to go, how different are the young men that the Browns added to the roster compared to years past?
Yeah, and that's the whole goal. Make it better. Find a way to get this team better and get them winning football games. Dennis in Strongsville, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Good, man.
How are you?
Doing well, thank you, sir. My questions were, both your thoughts on a possible head coach that would fit this system, and that another question would be, if this administration were to fail, where would that put the Browns? And then I appreciate your time. I'll hang up and listen.
So I guess where would it be if it fails? We'd probably be right where we are right now. So what the head coach is going to be, this is going to be a very interesting search. And right now the names that have been linked to the Browns, Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, Sean McDermott, defensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers, Paul Gunther, defensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals, Hugh Jackson, offensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals, Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator of the Patriots, and Adam Gase, the offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears. I haven't heard anything linking Chip Kelly to this job yet, although he's a progressive guy. But I think in the NFL, when things go as bad as they did, I'm pretty sure owners talk to one another, and the public perception of what Chip Kelly did in Philadelphia and then what the private talks are going to be, it seems like the bloom's a little bit off of that rose there for him. So I think this coaching search is going to be interesting, because you got to find someone who's aligned with the vision. That's the whole point of this, alignment. The Browns have put their flag in the ground and have said, this is the direction that we're going. This is how we're going to run our organization. So any head coach and top talent evaluator that comes in will need to be on board with that. And for people who are saying, why is this appealing to any top talent evaluator? Sashi has a decision-making process. Sashi is admittedly not a scout. We all know that. This person is going to have an opportunity to absolutely shape the draft board of the Cleveland Browns and basically be that person in charge of being the authority on talent evaluation.
Yeah, and I think that Sashi Brown's key role is evaluating the data that is collected via the talent evaluator and his staff, and Adi Podesta's analytics or Sashi's own analytics on the investments that they put into resources, and what, you know, like you said, that the trouble is going to be is when guys are 50-50 on something. Ultimately, it's Sashi's job to make that decision. You need to go. Do you go with the football? You know, do you go with the football guys? Or do you go with the numbers?
Well, I think it's going to be what Sashi is going to be, is a filter, right? So you're going to have all of these things coming in, and all of this information coming in, and deciding what information ultimately, right, at the end of the day, is the most important and what matters.
And I was going to say some of it matters and some of it doesn't.
Some of it's noise. Some of
it matters. And I think that's Dee Podesta's job to evaluate, you know, efficiently what matters most and what is least. Matters towards selecting a guy, making a decision, and so on and so forth.
And that's that's what he is going to evaluate.
Right.
Those are the things that his job is going to be to find out what these key things are that can give the Browns somewhat of a competitive advantage. 216-578-0850, Al in Mansfield. Al, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Uh, I hear the word analytics and I'm intrigued, but I don't know anything about it, I guess. But how do you generate NFL significant numbers on someone who's never been in the NFL?
So that's kind of what I was going back to, right, when I was talking about finding the traits of people from whether it be their production in college, whether it be their measurables in college, whether it be the type of systems they ran, their success in certain things in college that have actually led to real-life success in the National Football League, and finding out what are the common themes that you can extract from that can give you an idea of if player A is going to be successful or not at the next level. So I think that's what it is. It's not just looking at – and by the way, that's married with watching their tape, things that you know. When I watched Allen Robinson on tape, I believed I was watching Dez Bryant. That's what it felt like to me. And I saw that, and he's turned out to be a pretty good player. But there are things that you can look at. And by the way, if you went back, Allen Robinson's spark score was off the chart, so he checked that box. Allen Robinson's analytics in terms of his production per opportunity, things like that, were off the chart, so he checked a lot of those boxes. That's what it is. Finding guys, when you can get what I'd call, let's say for each player that you go through, you're going to have your physicality box, right? You're going to have your physical makeup and intangibles and measurables. You're going to have the analytics, which is maybe the statistical interpretations. Then you're going to have the things that have been identified by analytics that are keys to success, successful traits, let's say. Then you have your personality stuff. When you can get a guy that's green, and gets green, you know, or, well, I'm using that as a good mark in all of those columns, that's when you know that you've
got something. It's like passer rating in the National Football League. You know, it's like QBR. Yes, you know, in some cases it doesn't essentially match up with winning and losing, but you can't have a quarterback that has an extremely high passer rating and him not win football games in the National Football League. Right. You know, you look at Aaron Rodgers, you look at what Russell Wilson and what he's, you know, he's vying to pass Aaron Rodgers for the single season all-time highest quarterback passer rating. A team doesn't go 3-13 and have that guy as their quarterback. It just doesn't happen.
Right.
It doesn't happen. So the numbers, when quantified properly in favor in a football direction, it's very evident that the numbers can't be skewed one way or the other.
Of course.
The numbers skew one way in a positive direction, that guy's probably successful 60% of the time plus.
And that's why you marry that with what you see through your own eyes as you look out at it. All right, we're going to take a quick – actually, we'll get one more call, and then we'll take a break here at the bottom of the hour. Let's go now to Jimmy in Norton. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Hey, brothers.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. I'm excited about this. I think this is awesome.
Me too.
This is a great way to, you know, for Jimmy to be like, hey, I really care about this franchise so much that I am looking outside the box. I will do everything. I will fire everybody until I get this right. This is probably one of the most exciting times, you know, for you to be a Browns fan now, to kind of reinvigorate the people, because you got one person wearing one hat and not doing 13 different jobs. You know what I mean? One person does this, one person does that, one person does this, and then he's like, hey, I'm paying you all this money to break this down, and then we'll amalgamate it together, and then we'll go from there. This is great. This is what we needed.
I don't disagree with you, and that's why I'm excited about it. And Jimmy Haslam alluded to it when he introduced Sashi, saying that the traditional GM role, as you think about it, is a huge, huge thing. And so somebody's got to collect all the information. Information is power. Filter it through. Decide what is going to work, and then make those decisions. And that's what Sashi's been empowered to do. The guy who's going to be responsible for inputting a lot of the processes and strategic visions and information and collection and production.
And what information actually matters.
Is Paul DePodesta.
Correct.
And I think that's a great thing.
Yeah.
I think that's a great thing for this Cleveland Browns organization. All right, when we come back, more of your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Zagura, Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Zagura Wilhelm along with Jason Gibbs here on the show. And obviously, we've talked about a lot, but the big news today here in Berea is that the team has named Paul DePodesta, the team's chief strategy officer, as announced by the owner of the Browns, Jimmy Haslam. Here's what he had to say in the press release. Quote, We are fortunate to bring in Paul, an extremely talented, highly respected sports executive who will add a critical dimension to our front office. His approach and ambition to find the best pathways for organizational success transcend one specific sport, and his experience as a high-level sports executive make him a terrific addition to the Cleveland Browns. He is going to help out with a lot of things, as Sashi Brown said. His ability to create better processes and systems throughout organizations, his use of data as a tool to produce better outcomes, and his relentless focus on looking for innovative ways to create more success will be a strong asset as we look to be as comprehensive as possible in our decision-making, which gets to what you and I talked about, as much good information and figuring out what information matters, leading to the best possible outcomes. Additionally, Paul will help members of our player development, high performance, and analytics departments maximize their efforts. There are many areas that we have not fully capitalized on that will enhance the growth and performance of our players over time. So this is extending all over the organization, the way to just get the most out of every resource you've got in this building. And that is Paul DePodesta's job.
Correct. And I think that there's no way that you feel like things haven't fallen through the cracks as you continually don't take steps, which is a lot of the reason, which is immediately when you look at why Jimmy Haslam did what he did just a matter of a few days ago, it was the arrow was not trending upward.
Yep.
The arrow was actually trending downward. So it wasn't even, you know, we weren't flat. We were going to continue to stay where we were at. So something was needing to be changed. And with that, in any business, in any, in any marriage, in any friendship, you know, when things fall through the cracks or you take things for granted and you're not held accountable, which I think that's going to be a big, huge role in the process,
yes,
in evaluation. When you turn over every stone, you know, it gets very raw and it can be very ugly. And as we said Monday, you know, it was probably as bad as it was going to get. These individuals helped turn that arrow in the right direction.
That is certainly the hope. That is the plan. That's what it is supposed to be here for the Cleveland Browns. 216-578-0850. And by the way, it's our first day with Mr. Jason Gibbs. Gibbs, how are you?
Good to talk to you guys.
Gibbs, it is great to talk to you. What do you think of everything that is going on here in Berea?
Hey, nothing else has worked. Why not throw it up against the fridge and see if it sticks, baby? I mean, that's – I don't know. I don't know. You know me. Certain analytics I'm into, others
– You do not love the numbers.
We have done some battles. And, okay, it's a new approach. It's a different approach. It's worked in baseball. We've seen a little bit of success in the NBA too. All right, let's see if it works. Why not?
We will.
What else can you do? What else?
Yeah, is there a guy? I mean, that's my whole point. Was there a guy or a process that out there so clearly that we could have adapted that's any different from what we're doing now?
Yeah. It's a plan. That there's a direction.
There's a direction. Yeah.
So okay. You guys have put a plan in place. Let's roll with it. Let's see where it takes us. That's all you can really do right now.
And that's what will happen. And if I was going to have a plan orchestrated by a couple of people, a couple of Harvard graduates, probably not a bad.
I am a big Sashi Brown fan. Happy for him.
Me too.
And fine man. Very happy for him.
Fine man. Fine man, indeed.
We'll see what happens.
We will. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. And the one thing we haven't even gotten into, and we don't even know, there's no official word on anything with Johnny Manziel, and I know people keep waiting for this video to come out. But at this point, I don't even know what the right thing to do is. I'm going to just go for now. Let's say that it is true. If it is true, I don't know where you go with him. Does that send a message? Is that a valuable thing? Would you rather hold on to him and try to get the proverbial slab of ribs, as Pete Prisco said? You know, what would you do? And as a player in this locker room, how would it affect you to think that this guy was in the concussion protocol for week 17 and instead went to Las Vegas to dress up in a wig and party?
Well, I said this to you off air yesterday when this all kind of came to light. To me personally, what's a little shocking is that he was verified that he was in the building yesterday for checkout meetings, that there was no one player or leader passionate enough about this organization, about this city, about this team, that loves the game of football enough and maybe it happened. I don't know, but it has not been reported that anybody didn't go up to him at first opportunity. Any one guy or guys, and it's not cornering him, it's not intimidating him, but calling him out. Because the greatest teams have those leaders, have those intimidators. Because technically, Johnny Manziel is still a very young football player, right? Very young individual. This locker room just doesn't have it. So I find that very shocking that it's not been reported yet. And for all I know, maybe it happened, but maybe it didn't. But if it did, there's a high likelihood it would have gotten out. So I don't like that. But my stance on what you do with Johnny Manziel at this point, the Cleveland Browns don't owe you anything but essentially what you've been guaranteed on your contract. And so I'm not going to make life on Johnny Manziel here in Cleveland until he steps foot on the football field and earns his next dollar. I'm not going to make it easy on Johnny Manziel, meaning I'm not going to throw him a bone. I'm not going to trade him. If him and his agent demand a trade, I'm not going to release him.
So you'd almost RG3 him.
I RG3 him. You're going to have to, if you want to be here, you're going to struggle through this winter in Avon, Ohio with your puppy dog on a carpet, or you're going to go back to Texas. And when you come back, I'm going to make you work out and wear our Brown stuff. And if I'm Sashi Brown or these decision makers, I'm accumulating.
So it's cutting him almost too easy.
Cutting him is too easy. Yep. Because it's what it's clearly to me what he wants.
I don't know what he wants.
Okay. It's clear to me. He doesn't respect the game of football. He doesn't respect the men that make up that locker room. He doesn't respect the shield. He doesn't respect the Browns helmet, you know, on the garb that you wear. I'm not going to do anything that appeases Johnny Manziel.
If you were on this team, you know, when let's say you're in your career, you're in, you know, the sixth year of your career, you're you. Would you say something to him?
Me, Matt Wilhelm would not.
No.
Because I wasn't. My words would fall on deaf ears. And that's why I said there's one or two of those guys in a locker room that should have the clout. And as I said to you yesterday, it's the guy that's making $10 million a year that Johnny Manziel wants to be, he'll listen to that guy because he's got fat pockets. It's the guy that's been in the league 10-plus years, that's been to 3-4 Pro Bowls, which is hopefully where Johnny Manziel wants to be, he'll listen to that guy. It's the guy that had the off-the-field problems, then righted his ship, and now has fat pockets and stayed in the league that Johnny Manziel will listen to. It's not me, the guy who, you know, fights to be a bottom quartile guy every year to make the team for 6 years in a row.
Who was that guy on the Chargers? Because if you guys were successful for as long as you were, you had to have those guys.
For me, it was Keenan McCardell was a guy, you know, okay, who'd been multiple places, had made the money. Randall Godfrey as the linebacker was that guy that had that voice. Jamal Williams was that guy. He's a guy that, you know, played eight, nine years all in San Diego. You know, came via the supplemental draft, you know, didn't have the easiest path to the National Football League, that had that voice. And some of them did it with their words. Some of them did it with intimidation, the looks, you know, the comments. And there's a bond in a locker room that allows that to happen. And I think that is some of what has changed in a 2015 NFL locker room. And I thought, if you go back, and it was on, I think it was on Mike and Mike this morning, Ryan Clark, formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Washington Redskins, had a great stance on it, and it really boils down to, and it's a great time to talk about it, with high school prospects picking their universities and what hot commodities they are as 15, 16, 17-year-olds, you know, holding men that make millions and millions of dollars, the Sabins, the Myers, the Les Miles of the world in limbo, the Harbaughs of the world in limbo on their commitment. They immediately start to grow that sense of entitlement, and they demand this, and I'm going to play this, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to dangle this carrot for you and go somewhere else. You're going to sit in front of your TV or on your phone with what hat I'm going to put on my head. It starts then.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And it's what's broken, you know. I one random day went up to a head coach and told him I was going to come to Ohio State, and me in front of three people, five people, six people at Elyria Catholic High School, two of them being my parents, one being my brother, the principal, the athletic director, and a head football coach, I signed a letter that said I was going to go to Ohio State.
You didn't have it broadcast on ESPN with
no.
A table with five different hats
and the
in
morning,
front of it?
And the Morning Journal, the Lorraine Morning Journal, you know, wrote a sports editorial about my commitment and took a picture. That was it. How the world has changed.
Oh, how the world has changed.
That's creating the monsters. That's creating the monsters.
Absolutely. It is a strange thing, and I think in some way you're right. I think whatever you do, if it does turn out to be true, you send the message that it's unacceptable, and you can do that one of two ways, which is cutting him immediately, but at that same time, as you said, you run the risk of saying you can pout your way out of here, or you can just be bad enough to get yourself thrown out of here. The other way to do it is do what the Redskins did. You don't even hear people talk about RG3. He was the third quarterback. He sat there on the sidelines every game, had to do everything, and you kept him until his time ran out. And that certainly
right.
is possible for what the Browns might do with Johnny Manziel if this story is in fact true. If it's not true, I think you got a whole nother can of worms of how does this happen and why is this going on, and I don't know what you do in that standpoint, but obviously you wouldn't be punishing him if it's not true. But sounds to me like people are pretty certain that it is true. Here's a statement from the Mets COO Jeff Wilpon about Paul DePodesta. Said, quote, working with Sandy, that's Sandy Alderson, the Mets general manager, Paul put into process a new approach toward player development throughout our organization. Ownership and all of us at the Mets thank Paul for his tireless efforts. We look forward to seeing Paul's continued success with the Browns. Of course, the Mets this year went to the World Series. General Manager Sandy Alderson saying, Paul completely reorganized the Mets' scouting and player development functions and had an extraordinary impact in both areas. That's why I was talking about he's going to be affecting the guys that are in the building as much as he is the processes for identifying which guys to bring into the building. It is maximizing the player and the player development function, and that's what Sandy Alderson hits on there. But he was also very directly involved in our trade and free agent acquisitions. His commitment to excellence and his passion for innovation will be missed by the Mets and all of baseball. I wish him well with the Browns. Those guys summed up everything we've been trying to say about what right. he is going to be involved in, and they did it as a better job because he actually did that for them, and that's what he is going to do right here for the Cleveland Browns. When we come back, final thoughts, last opportunity for you to call up 216-578-0850. Zagur and Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Zagur and Wilhelm wrapping it up here on another newsworthy Tuesday in Berea. Of course, you can keep tuned to ClevelandBrowns.com and, of course, the Browns mobile app for all the latest on your Cleveland Browns. Get to Mike in Youngstown quickly. Mike, welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, I hope you guys had a good New Year. Hope
thank you.
Pays off for the Browns. Well, I'm not going to keep you that long. I have some questions, but I like the idea, what they're coming up with, and the reason I like it, you've been around for a long time, and the last couple times we've had to do a change or something different, it was like it seemed like flying on the, you know, just taking a chance, waiting. Oh my Lord, the Browns don't know what they're doing. I think these moves that have been done with the, you know, with the hiring of these people, I think it has them definitely put some thought into what he wanted to do. And it's just not a fly by the seat of your pants. And
there's no question. There's a lot of thought that went into this, and we will see. Obviously, time will tell whether it works out. But, yes, this is a clear direction and belief system that has been implemented by the Cleveland Browns. There's nothing – can't question that. Success, that will take time to prove out one way or the other. But clearly they have a direction and a belief of how they want to function as an organization.
And it's not going to be cloudy, and it's not going to be murky. It's going to be very direct and in your face.
Yes, it will not be muddy, as you like to say, Mr. Wilhelm.
Right.
I love that term. All right, let's get Chevy, our guy Chevy in New Jersey, to wrap it up. Chevy.
Hey, guys, thanks. You guys are making history through the transition. I'm glad you guys are at the helm during all this. It makes
Thank
us
you.
Feel a lot better. You're welcome. Hey, I think you can overanalyze things as well. For example, a guy like Joey Bosa. Look at the impact a guy like that has on a team, kind of like Ray Lewis, where he affects every single thing. He infects the other team. He's the enforcer in the locker room. He snatches people by the collar. You know, all these things. And then if you look at the Seattle's quarterback, picking in, what, the second, third round,
third, yep.
Don't necessarily have to draft a quarterback. Facts, guys, and you make this transition a lot smoother.
Thank you, Chevy. And to go back to your point, as you use, you know, the spark testing, as you called it, you know, a litmus test of you know, some type of information, I would imagine, and this is not coming from a Buckeye honk at all, Joey Bosa gonna test really well on within those spark parameters if it has to do with athleticism, explosion, and so on and so forth. So Joey Bosa is going to be a guy at the top of everyone's draft board.
Yes, he certainly will be, and it'll be interesting to see how he does test. Right now, he's pretty much consensus top five. You see him go number two some cases to the Browns on some mocks that are already out there, but consensus top five guy. All right, that'll do it. If you want to find out more about Paul DePodesta, you can go to clevelandbrowns.com, the Browns mobile app, but he is in the chief strategy officer for the Cleveland Browns and immediately getting on the road on the coaching search with Sashi Brown, Jimmy and D. Haslam, and, of course, Jed Hughes from Corn Ferry as the Browns go to conduct their head coaching search. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. That'll do it. We want to thank Pete Prisco for joining us. Thank Tom Withers for joining us. Jason Gibbs back with us. It's glorious. For Matt Wilhelm, I am Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford. Home, home.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.